Not surprisingly, Rafe whipped out his own handgun. Harry Rex was handling mine.
"Here's the deal," he said, beginning the lesson. "This is a double-action revolver with 6 cartridges. Press here, and the cylinder pops out."
Rafe reached over and deftly loaded 6 bullets, something he had obviously done many, many times.
"Snap it back like this, and you're ready to fire."
We were about 50 feet from the target. I could still hear the music from the cabin. What would the other guests think when they heard gunfire? Nothing. It happened all the time. Rafe took my handgun and faced the target.
"For starters, spread your legs to shoulders width. Bend the knee slightly, use both hands like this, and squeeze the trigger with your right index finger."
He demonstrated as he spoke, and of course, everything looked easy. I was standing less than 5 feet away when the gun fired, and the sharp crack jolted my nerves. Why did it have to be so loud? I had never heard live gunfire. The second shot hit the target square in the chest, and the next 4 landed around the midsection. He turned to me, opened the cylinder, spun out the empty cartridges, and said,
"Now you do it."
My hands were shaking as I took the gun. It was warm, and the smell of gunpowder hung heavy around us. I managed to shove in the 6 cartridges and snap the cylinder shut without hurting anyone. I faced the target, lifted the gun with both hands, crouched like someone in a bad movie, closed my eyes, and pulled the trigger. It felt and sounded like a small bomb of some sort.
"You gotta keep your eyes open, damn it," Harry Rex growled.
"What did I hit?"
"That hill beyond the oak trees." "Try it again," Rafe said.
I tried to look down the gun sight, but it was shaking too badly to be of any use. I squeezed the trigger again, this time with my eyes open, waiting to see where my bullet hit. I noticed no entry wound anywhere near the target.
"He missed the sheet," Rafe mumbled behind me.
"Fire again,"
Harry Rex said. I did, and again couldn't see where the bullet landed. Rafe gently took my left arm and eased me forward another 10 feet.
"You're doing fine," he said. "We got plenty of ammo."
I missed the hay on the 4th shot, and Harry Rex said,
"I guess the Pagets are safe after all."
"It's the moonshine," I said.
"It just takes practice," Rafe said, moving me forward yet again.
My hands were sweating, my heart was galloping away, my ears were ringing. On number 5, I hit the sheet, barely, in the top right-hand corner, at least 6 feet from the target. On number 6, I missed everything again and heard the bullet hit a branch up in one of the oaks.
"Nice shot," Harry Rex said. "You almost hit a squirrel."
"Shut up," I said.
"Relax," Rafe said. "You're too tense."
He helped me reload, and this time he squeezed my hands around the gun.
"Breathe deeply," he said over my shoulder. "Exhale right before you pull the trigger."
He steadied the gun as I looked down the sight, and when it fired, the target took a hit in the groin.
"Now we're in business," Harry Rex said.
Rafe released me, and like a gunslinger at high noon, I unloaded the next 5 shots. All hit the sheet. One would have taken off the target's ear. Rafe approved, and we loaded up again. Harry Rex had a 9mm Glock automatic from his vast collection, and as the sun slowly disappeared, we took turns blasting away. He was good, and had no trouble drilling 10 straight shots into the upper torso from 50 feet. After 4 rounds, I began to relax and enjoy the sport of it. Rafe was an excellent teacher, and as I progressed, he passed on tips here and there.
"It just takes practice," he kept saying.
When we finished, Harry Rex said,
"The gun's a gift. You can come out here any time for target practice."
"Thanks," I said. I stuck the gun in my pocket like a real redneck. I was delighted that the ritual was over, that I had accomplished something that every other male in the county had experienced by his 12th birthday. I didn't feel any safer. Any Paget who jumped from the bushes would have the advantage of surprise and the benefit of years of target practice. I could almost envision myself grappling with my own gun in the darkness and finally unloading a bullet that would more likely hit me than any assailant. As we were walking back through the woods, Harry Rex said from behind me,
"That bleached blonde you met, Carlene?"
"Yeah," I said, suddenly nervous.
She likes you.
Carlene had lived at least 40 very hard years. I could think of nothing to say.
She's always good for a hop in the sack.
I doubted if Carlene had missed too many sacks in Ford County. No thanks, I said. I got a girl in Memphis.
So?
Good call, Rafe said under his breath.
A girl here, a girl there? What's the big difference?
I got a deal for you, Harry Rex, I said. If I need your help picking up women, I'll let you know.
Just a roll in the hay, he mumbled.
I did not have a girl in Memphis, but I knew several. I'd rather make the drive than stoop to the likes of Carlene. The goat had a distinctive taste. Not good, but after the chitlins, not nearly as bad as I had feared. It was tough and smothered in sticky barbecue sauce, which, I suspected, was applied in generous layers to counter the taste of the meat. I toyed with a slice of it and washed it down with beer. We were on the deck again, with Loretta Lynn in the background. The moonshine had made the rounds for a while, and some of the guests were dancing above the pond. Carlene had disappeared earlier with someone else, so I felt safe. Harry Rex sat nearby, telling everyone how effective I'd been shooting squirrels and rabbits. His talent for storytelling was remarkable. I was an oddity, but every effort was made to include me. Driving the dark roads home, I asked myself the same question I posed every day. What was I doing in Ford County, Mississippi?